Hi, well, good morning. Grateful to see you here. If you are new to LifePoint, great big welcome. If you're listening online, grateful to have you with us. My name is Ed Travers. I'm one of the Campus Life pastors here at our Lewis Center campus. And I just want to say we got some really great news. We don't have all the totals in for our WOW missions offering, but we did learn that, do you know the little tins that the kids collected and they brought in and made an offering? At all of our campuses, we're over $6,000 with all those tins. Isn't that incredible? I heard stories of like kids who did lemonade stands to raise money for missions. One kid went door to door knocking and telling jokes for money. And I thought, I like that kid. You know what I'm saying? But that's really exciting. We won't have all the totals yet. You can still give. If you are thinking, hey, I want to do that, you just have to go in online and designate it for the WOW missions offering. But we're really excited about all that God's doing and what God is going to do through our church over this next year when it comes to missions and partnering with what God's doing around the world. So really excited by that. Also want to say to you, on behalf of myself and the whole staff, happy Father's Day to all of you dads out there, and to everyone who is investing in the next generation. Just grateful for all that you do. And, you know, for some people, Father's Day is difficult. You know, my dad passed a long time ago, so I remember what that was like, especially when it was raw. And, you know, my wife lost her dad this year. So for some of you, this might be a hard day. But it's a reminder that your dad mattered and that you had a gift. And in either case, just want to say happy Father's Day to you. I will say that parenting has probably been the hardest thing I've ever done. Like, you know, when you're a parent, you think, like, your parents knew what they were doing, and then you become a parent, and you realize nobody really knows what they're doing. You know, we're all just guessing, doing our best. And it's hard, but sometimes it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life. Let me show you a picture of my girls. This is Abby and Carly. One is 20 and one is 18, and they are just joys to me. I was thinking about them when I was thinking about a situation where it was just one of the most rewarding moments of being a parent. It happened many years ago when my oldest was maybe in first or second grade. I went into my local grocery store, and I went to the meat counter to order some meat and cheese. And there was a new lady back there. She was an older lady, maybe late 50s, early 60s. And she turns around and asks me what I want. And I told her the order. But she was really like stone-faced. Like, I think she was angry at me for ordering meat and cheese. I don't know. She had that kind of look on her face. But she also had a very thick accent. And I had no idea where she was from. But, you know, I said, hey, so where are you from? Her name was Svetlana. And she said to me, she goes, where you think I'm from? I said, I don't know, Ukraine. And she goes, I'm from Russia. And I'm like, sometimes you don't know things. Like, I need some little grace now and then, maybe all the time. But so I tried to talk to her a little bit. I learned her name, but she was just stone-faced the whole time. And when I left, I said to myself, I will make her smile. I'm going to do it. Like, I'll find a way. So I called a friend of mine that knew Russian. And I said, tell me how to say hello in Russian. And she said, you say kaktala. I'm like, okay. So next time I went in to the grocery store and I went to the counter, I saw her. I said, Svetlana, kaktala. And she just lit up. And then she, for like the next 30 seconds, just rambled off in Russian. I'm like, so I said that line, I don't know any other words. I met one word so far. That's all I know. And so that started like a little friendship we made across the counter. And it got to the point where my kids and my wife would come in and my wife and her would be talking. They would talk about what she did back in Russia and making dresses and what her life was like. And she asked about us and she would dote on my kids. We even got to talk about Jesus together. It was awesome just to kind of connect with someone and see them really kind of break down the walls and smile, that kind of stuff. Well, a couple weeks later, maybe a month later, I don't remember exactly, my daughter came home from school and she said to me, she goes, Daddy, how do you say happy birthday in Japanese? I said, I don't know. I said, why do you want to know? She goes, well, there's a young girl in my class, Kanye, and she's from Japan and she doesn't know a lot of English. And honestly, she doesn't talk to a lot of students because she's got, you know, really bad English. But I found out it's her birthday tomorrow, and I want to say happy birthday to her. And so I said, well, I have a friend. I got lots of friends, by the way. Like, I have a whole cache of friends, like, to just know things. So I called him. I'm like, hey, man, how do you say happy birthday in Japanese? So I put Abby on the phone with my buddy, and he was teaching her. And so she comes home from school the next day, and she's like, Daddy, you're not going to believe how it went. And I'm like, well, what happened? She goes, and I told her happy birthday in Japanese, and she just lit up, and she was so excited. She felt so special. It was so awesome, Daddy. And she goes, Daddy, I'm just like you. Okay, that's the end of the service. All right, so we're in a new series, and we're calling the series Practicing. It's the art of becoming like Jesus. This idea during this series that we're going to lean into all the things that God has for us to learn to live out our lives like Christ. And I believe that at the heart of God, he's a father who wants his kids to be like him. That's the reality of what he's trying to do. But we don't understand God. It's hard for us to recognize all that there is about God, but he sent his son Jesus down here. And so to look at Jesus is to look at the Father. So when we look at Christ, we can learn what it is that God's trying to do in our life. There's a big religious word called sanctification. It's the process in which God makes us to be like his son, Jesus. That's what we're going to look at in this series. But I think many people have no idea that it's actually a benefit to their life to become like Christ. Many people would never even say that. They don't even understand because they have no idea that it's the best thing for their life. We all have a vision of what we believe our best life is, but we wouldn't necessarily say becoming like Christ is like that. Some of us would, but most of us have no idea. But let me tell you what's true, is that it is the very best thing for us. God is trying to make us the best version of ourselves, the best parent, the best spouse, the best friend, the best family member. He's trying to do something in us that actually is the very thing we all want. And let me tell you that if you're listening in or if you're here in the room and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I'm at the beginning of my faith journey. I'm just trying to figure this thing out. Let me tell you what you have in common with me. And I've been doing this a long time. Is that deep down, we want the best life we can. We want something in our life to improve. We want to see the things that would be best for our lives. We all want that. The only question is, how do we get it? So that's what we're going to look at today. If you have a Bible, go to John chapter 15. If you're, you know, scrolling, you can see those in the sermon notes. And I'm going to share three things just to kind of keep you tracking with me through this passage. And when I do that, that's my goal, is just to keep you tracking. But ultimately, you know what I want for all of us in this room? And all of us listening in, is that God would speak to us. So before we dig in, let's take just a second and whisper up a prayer to God. God, speak to us. Let's do this together. Father, I'm grateful for the fathers in this room and that you give us gifts of fatherhood. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless the fathers today, that they would feel your hand of grace on them. But God, I'm asking right now that you would use this time through your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would speak to our hearts today. And we ask that in your son's holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, go to John 15. The first thing I want to share is that in order to get the life that it is that God wants for us, we need to recognize God's activity in our life. We need to recognize God's activity. He's trying to work in our life. John 15, this is the night that, you know, he's had the Last Supper. He's heading off to the garden. Maybe he's got his guys who've been traveling with him for 3.5 years, all the disciples, and he's heading towards the garden. It's going to be the night where he's arrested, and he's going to share with them the most important things he can share. He knows this is the moment before what's going to be tumultuous, and he wants them to know the most important things. Here's what he says, John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. So he's talking to his disciples, and he's saying, look, you're clean. You are made right with the Father in heaven because of the word that I have spoken to you, and you have believed that by faith, that you are made right with God. And then he uses this illustration. Maybe he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Maybe he was walking past, you know, groves, and he's telling them, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And the Father is going to do his work, his activity in your life. Anyone who's bearing fruit, anyone who's growing fruit, he's actually going to prune them so they'll become even more fruitful. But But those who are bearing no fruit at all, he's gonna take them off. And maybe he was talking to Judas there. But he's telling them, the Father's goal is that you would produce fruit. He's gonna prune you to make sure that you're more fruitful. Now, I kind of wish he would have said, I'm the vine and you're the branches, and the Father's gonna protect everything and make it perfect. Make sure that you have perfect nourishment, make sure you have perfect water, protection from the animals, like it's gonna be awesome. I kind of wish that's what Jesus would have said here. But he said, no, if you're bearing fruit, he's gonna prune you so that you'll bear even more fruit. Now, this is the problem, because deep down what we want is the perfect life, and when things happen in our life that are difficult to deal with, when we feel the pressure, when we feel the heat of life, when we go through those times that try us, the first thing we pray is, God, make it stop. God, would you make that situation stop? Would you make a check come in? Would you take away that thing? Would you heal my body? Please make it stop. That's our first reaction. But do you know that God uses all things together for the good for those who are called according to his purposes? Which means the things that are happening in our life, it's very possible God is trying to use those to change us, that our lives will become the better version of ourselves, that he will produce fruit in our life. And we need to recognize that and stop trying to fight against it. I have a buddy named David who's getting baptized here today, and he grew up in the faith. You know, some of you have done the same. Like, you can't remember how far back your faith goes because it's just been there forever. But, you know, life can be one of those things where your faith becomes almost like wallpaper. It's always there, but you don't always pay attention to it. And so, you know, you get into your career, you know, you have your spouse and your kids and your hobbies and your ambitions, and you kind of go through life, and faith is there, but it's not always at the forefront of what you're doing. Well, he went through a health scare, had to deal with that, and that kind of, you know, shook him up a little bit, and he leaned into God, and God really ministered to him at that time. And then not long after that, he lost a job that he wasn't expecting to lose. He figured he would retire from his job. He's good at it. It was a great job, but the company was restructuring. And when he lost the job, he had time. And in that time, he could see the hand of God on his life, and God started to produce more fruit in his life. Today, he's going to, you know, go public with faith. I believe his wife and son are going to do that with him. It's going to be awesome. God is producing it. And here's the thing. He came to me one time and he was saying, you know what, Ed, when I was going through a hard time, someone gave me this resource that really helped me at a tough time. He goes, if anyone ever needs that, and Ed, I know you deal with people that really need help sometimes. He goes, just let me know. I'll take care of it. I'll send it to them. Like, all I have to do is send an email. Say, hey, man, you got this? Yep. Like, God is producing fruit in his life that wasn't there before because he pruned him. It's how it works. God does these things on purpose in our life. And we need to stop fighting against it and recognize that it's his activity. If we're gonna have the life that God wants, here's the second thing, is that honoring God with our life is counterintuitive. Everyone who understands the cross knows, I wanna live up to that. I wanna honor God. But how do you do that? Well, here's what Jesus says next. Verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. So the Father's goal, remember, is that you would be fruitful. If we abide in him, then somehow the fruit just grows through us supernaturally, and this is what glorifies the Father. So as we bear fruit, we honor God. All right, so how do we bear fruit? Well, whoever abides in him. So if we abide in Christ, he's the vine. If we just abide in him, then somehow fruit will come out of that? That's what he's saying. Okay, well, if there's no fruit, am I abiding? Probably not. Like, that means you're gone. If there's no fruit in your life, then it might be an indication there's a problem. But this is counterintuitive. I want the life that honors God, and I want God's blessing in my life. And so our intuition is this. I need to do something. I've got to go. I've got to start going to church more. I got to do this. I got to write checks. I got to take care of this. I need to eliminate some of those things, because some of those things, whew, I knew those were wrong, so I can eliminate those. I need to start doing this and this and this. We think, all right, God, if I do all these things and I take care of this, then he's probably going to like me and he'll bless my life and I'll get what I actually want. And that's not true. I'm not saying any of that's bad. I'm just saying that's not exactly what God's talking about here. He's saying, look, if you just abide in me, and abide, the word basically means a constant connection, a dwelling place. It means to remain in something. As you remain in this connection to Jesus, what he's saying is he's going to produce the fruit out of our life. So what's the fruit? Now, if you read scripture, you're going to realize there's a lot of fruit. Fruit is the outflow of something that's happening in you. And we understand how vines work. Like, you never go to, you know, pass an apple tree and see a branch on the ground growing apples. Well, that's not going to happen. But healthy trees with healthy limbs produce incredible fruit. So what's the fruit? Well, the best passage in all of scripture to understand the fruit is Galatians 5. This is a letter Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. And verse 22 of chapter 5 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now let me tell you something. As a dad, I want my kids to have great opportunities. I want them to have experiences that they'll never forget. I want them to excel. I hope they get great jobs, and I hope that their husbands love Jesus more than I do. I don't want much. But you know what I really want for them more than anything? I want love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness to be true of their life. God wants for us the same thing we want for our kids. The characteristics of what he's saying here, he wants to produce that in our life. That's what he wants, and that's what glorifies and honors God. And it's counterintuitive. We think, you know, we got to do something. And here's why. Because you learn that, right? As a parent, what do you tell your kids? Listen, if you behave, there's going to be ice cream involved. Bad behavior, no ice cream. I might eat ice cream in front of you. Like, that's how this is going to work. Like, we learn. If you work well, you get, you know, results. You get to, you know, the benefit of your hard work. We learn that. And yet, God is saying that does not work here. You can't do it apart from abiding in Christ. We have a great 1825 ministry here at LifePoint. Last Monday night, I got invited to come. I may have kind of imposed my will a little bit, but I went to the leaders. We have incredible leaders, and from all the campuses we had, I mean, there must have been 200-some students here on Monday night. It was awesome. But I had asked the leaders if I could teach and lead a bridge group this summer for 1825 only about evangelism. How do you learn to have gospel conversations and share the gospel with others? And I've done this a lot over the years, working with young people to help them learn this and give them confidence in sharing their faith. And so I said, hey, can I do this bridge group and can I come and promote it at some point? And they said, yeah, come Monday night and talk about it. So I did that, and I was able to share a story that I'm going to share with you guys. Last fall, a buddy of mine, Brandon, and I took a small team of people to Pittsburgh, and we were supporting our church planting partner there, Steel City Church. And while we were there, we were going to take this small team and take them to the university and try to get into conversations with people at the university about Jesus. And so our goal, we would go and we would just ask people about the spiritual climate in Pittsburgh, and if they gave us the opportunity, we would share with them about Jesus. So my teammate at that time, we ran into this young lady and this guy, and we were having a great conversation with them, talking about a lot of things, asking them about faith and all of that. They asked questions, and I asked her, I said, let me ask you this question. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being absolutely, completely, positively convinced and assured and confident, and a one being no confidence whatsoever, how confident are you that if you die today, you would go to heaven? And she said, zero. I said, zero? She goes, yeah, man. I said, why? She goes, I haven't racked up enough points. And I said, I got to tell you, that's not how this works at all. She goes, what do you mean? I said, God has always wanted a relationship with you, you personally, because that's who God is. He has wanted a relationship with his all of people. This is the heart of God, to be in relationship, to walk in closeness and connection. But all the way back in the Garden of Eden, that the you know Adam and Eve sinned. And that sin caused a curse in this world, and the world has been breaking down ever since. We see that with natural disasters and disease. Like, we understand the world's broken. We get that. But that sin impacted people and broke everybody. That's why we see people hurt each other. We feel that brokenness. But if we're honest, that brokenness is in all of us, and we feel it. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us have that brokenness in us, and we can feel it as a brokenness between us and God. Because God is holy, and he is perfect, and he is sinless, and he has made an eternity that is perfect forever. He can't let sin inherit that. So we have a problem. We can't make up for it. We can't earn it. I said, that's why Jesus had to die on the cross. He took the penalty of all of our sin, every one of us from all time. He took all of sin's punishment one time on the cross so the justice of God prevailed. But the grace and mercy of God was exclaimed when he rose Christ from the dead. And now Jesus, because he's alive, sends his Holy Spirit into the world with the gospel of Jesus, the good news that you can come to faith in him through the cross. And anyone who comes to him in faith, he gives them his righteousness. He already had it. He was already in right standing with the Father. He gives it to those who come to him in faith. And his blood washes away their sin so that they can be in right standing with the Father forever. I looked at her, I told us, and she was just not ready. Because in her mind, I believe she was thinking, this isn't how it works. We got to do something. We got to earn it somehow. She was unwilling to let that go at that time. And I got to tell you, it's because it's counterintuitive. What God's trying to do in our life, honoring him, is counterintuitive because we think we have to earn it. That's just not true. So here's the thing. If we want to get the life that God wants for us, we need to recognize his activity. We need to embrace his way of doing it. And thirdly, that we need to go all in. We need to go all in. Years ago, we didn't have cable. Tammy and I, my wife, we didn't have cable, and we were traveling somewhere, and the hotel had cable. And so I was stumbling across channels, like, I couldn't stop. I'm just channel. And I ran across something called Texas Hold'em. You guys familiar with that? Some of you guys probably play that. And I'm watching Texas Hold'em, and I was totally into it. By the way, this isn't promoting that. Like, am I allowed to talk about this in church? Like, gambling? Like, don't tell Dean I was up here, okay? So, but there's this thing about Texas Hold'em is that there's a moment when you go all in. Like, you take all your chips and you think you're going to win, and you kind of like, I'm all in. You just push them all in. And if you win, you win it all. But if you lose, you're out. Here's why I bring it up. Look at what is said next. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. All right, I want the life that God wants for me. I want that kind of fruit in my life. I want more love, more joy, more peace, more patience. I want all of those things in my life. How do I get them? Well, I need to remain in him. Well, how do I remain in him? Abide in my love. Huh. So all I have to do is abide in the love of Christ. Yes. And if you keep my commandments. Okay, now here it goes. Now we get it. What do I've got to do to remain in your love? Keep my commandments. That's what I've done, he says. I kept my Father's commandments. And by doing these things, you're actually going to be, you're going to have my joy. So this work that I got to do, somehow, if I do this work, I'm going to be full of joy. Like, Christ's joy, you know, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That's how much he loves us. Okay, so that kind of joy is going to be in me that I could do anything in life? Yes. What's the commandment? Verse 12, love one another. Huh, that's it? Yeah. You allow my love to be in you, you remain in my love, and then as you remain in my love, here's what's going to happen. It'll spill out on other people. Here's how you know you remain in love, because you're naturally going to love other people, or shall I say supernaturally. Your ability to love is going to come from your love that you get from Christ. And then what's the love look like? Greater love is no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Do you know what that means? That's not a halfway, one foot in, one foot out kind of love. That's an all-in kind of love. And let me tell you something. The beauty of that is that Jesus laid down his life completely. That's what he wants for us. How do you do that? Well, you can't do it halfway. Like, and we know what this is, right? Like, you can't go halfway with your spouse. Like, you can't say to them, hey, I love you. I want you to marry me. And they say to you, that's awesome, but I have like some other friends. if you do, like there's a therapy for you. And so I just want to say that out loud, that you can talk to me later. I'll get you hooked up to a good therapist. But that's not how it works. Like, we go all in with love. That's what this means. You can't go halfway in with God. So here's the question. Are you going halfway in? Is that you? Are you going halfway in? If you kind of think, well, you know, I want to honor God, but you're kind of like, but I want this for me. I just want to be, you know, and you're halfway in. You know if you're halfway in. If there's a lack of fruit in your life, there's a good chance that you're just halfway in. That's the thing about pruning. The beauty of pruning is that God gets us off the fence of being halfway in and halfway out. Because pruning is hard, and that's where we have to lean in to Christ. That makes us need him, and the more that we need him, the more that we feel his presence in our life, and the more he produces fruit in our life. And pain has a way of making that evident to us. Can I tell you a story about a wedding I did recently? This wedding is one of the most epic weddings I've ever done. This is my buddy Matt and his wife Stephanie and their kids, Grayson and Alora, and it was down in the bottom of a canyon with a waterfall in the background. It was epic. Like, you haven't really done a wedding until you've done a wedding at the bottom of a canyon. And what made it epic has nothing to do with the wedding. What made it epic was who they are. You see, I met them 2 years ago. I had been working in our Westboro campus for 5.5 years, and I came over here, and on July 1st, 2 years ago, the couple, I got an email from someone who knew them, but it wasn't them, someone who comes to our LifePoint Church, and they were reaching out on behalf of this family because they had an 18-month-old who had a terminal brain cancer. And I the only contact I had was the grandma, and so I called the grandmother, and I said, you know, what's happening? She said, well, this terminal brain cancer is so bad. It's one of those that most kids never recover from. In fact, if you look it up, people usually have a year, and that's it. And so I said, well, how can I help? She said, I raised my daughter to have faith, but after this, I don't think she'll have any faith at all. And she said, the truth is, I don't think I will either. So she set up a meeting, and I got to meet them. I got to meet little Elena. She's a beautiful little kid. And over the next 3 weeks, I had the opportunity to just, you know, build a relationship with them and pray with them and answer questions. And then it came time about 3.5 weeks later where it was going to be the day, you know, where they were going to the hospital, and it was going to be Lena's day before she transitioned to be with Jesus. And I'll just say it was the hardest day I've ever seen in my life. That includes anything I've ever been through or witnessed. That's all I'm going to say about that. And I thought after it was over, I thought, they're going to be out. Because pain has a way of doing that. And I thought, I don't have any answers. But thank God, he just started doing stuff. Little things. I don't have enough time to tell you, but he just started doing little things in life. Let me give you one. Like this type of cancer, the doctor had to ask, can we have the tissue? That's a hard thing to ask a couple to do, to donate tissue, but the tissue was alive. They just said yes, and this tissue, only the second time in 25 years this has ever happened. So these researchers, these scientists now have a cancer that they can work on that's alive. And let me tell you this, I'm not even allowed to say, but I'll tell you this, there's a possibility now that future children may be saved and their families will not have to go through this. There's a chance that Lena not only wins, but she destroys this thing. Like, there's a possibility here. And there's so many things that God did. It's like God went way out of his way to show this couple, I love you. To show their whole family, I love you, I'm right here, I'm doing something here. And this couple, instead of leaning out, they leaned in. I've been watching them walk with God. They are part of my foundation's bridge group that learns about the Bible, and I watch God. They were working them, they were so hungry to know. Today, in just a few minutes, they're gonna go public with their faith and baptism. It's just God in them. Sometimes the pruning process is exactly what we need, and I don't wish this on anyone, but I do wish everything that they have now on everybody, the love that's in their heart towards Christ. Stephanie told me, without that, I don't know if I would have turned to Jesus. We want this kind of life. You can't allow the pruning and the struggles in your life to make you lean out. If you're here and you're struggling with something, lean in. If you're going through a situation, lean into Christ. If you are, you know, at a time in your life where you're like, man, I'm not seeing a lot of fruit, lean in. Go all in and tell him that. If you're here and you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, lean in. You can receive Christ by faith today. Allow his fruit to start to invade your soul. It doesn't happen overnight, but he wants to make you to look like his son. So before, you know, we have baptisms, and I need to tell you, while we have the baptisms, remain seated because the families want to watch and see, and so just remain seated, and then when the time is right, the band will lift you back up, and we'll worship. We're going to do that in a second, but before we do that, let's just take a second in prayer. I'm going to ask everyone kind of close their eyes and bow their head, and let's talk to the Lord. If you would say, I'm just going through a season of kind of, I'm not sensing a lot of fruit in my life, just tell God. God, I'm all in. Help me to sense your work and activity in my life. Just tell him. God, use my life. I'm all in with you, Lord. Use my life. If you're here and you're in the midst of going through a very difficult and painful trial, a season that is just hard, here's what I'm asking you to do. Take that thing, that situation, that circumstance, and I want you to slide it across the table to God right now. Say, God, I'm giving this to you. This situation, I need you. Will you please, God, work in me? Help me. Just tell him, I'm giving you this. I'm all in. Lord, have your way with me. Make me into whatever you're trying to make me. I'm all in, but God, I need you. Just tell him that. And if you're here and you'd say, I've never given my life to Christ, here's what I want you to do. It's just a step of faith. You don't have to impress him. He's a father. The heart of a father is that his kids will simply come to him. If that's you and you've never done that, here's what you do. Say, Father in heaven, I believe in you. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross, and I believe he rose from the grave. I believe. The Bible says anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call on him by simply saying, Jesus, would you please forgive me? I know that I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry, but I'm asking you, Jesus, will you please forgive me? Will you come into my life, and will you lead my life? I want to follow you, Jesus. Just tell him that. You need to know. He knows your heart. He knows exactly what you're doing. He wants you in this relationship, and that faith decision is what makes you right with the Father because of what he provided on the cross for you. What it means to be a Christ follower is that when you sense him leading, you just try to follow as best you know. You're gonna make mistakes, you're gonna sin again, you won't be perfect, but he will slowly transform your life to look like his son over the course of your lifetime. To follow him as you sense it, I'm gonna help you take a first step with that. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. It's a big deal to Jesus and a big deal to God and the angels in heaven. I'm going to ask you to just acknowledge Jesus. If today was your day, between you and me and God, I just want you to raise your hand up and say, Ed, I want you to see, and God in heaven, I want you to see. If that's you, and today was your day, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand high enough I can see it and say, today was my day. Yes, I see you there in the back. If that's you, hold them high enough I can see. Yes, I see you there. Anyone else? Yes, I see you there up front. Yes, I see you there. You put your hand down. If that's you. If today was your day, I'm looking left now. If that's you, raise them up. Yes. God, thank you for being a God that cares about us. Help us to be all in with you, Jesus. Show us the steps of what it means to remain in your love, to abide in you. And I pray, God, you would work in our life. For those taking first steps, show them who you are. For those who are hurting, show up and show them that you love them. We ask all this in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. Thank you.
song.